This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Go to the Progressive Guest Line. Progressive Insurance for a job you'll love is at progressive.com/careers. Jared Dubin joining us from CBS Sports to talk about Championship Sunday and Super Bowl 57. How are you, Jared?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Let's get the rundown on the Eagles. We've been kind of buzzing about them. What a remarkable organization to win a Super Bowl a few years ago and then down the road realize we got to build it differently, and now they're back in the Super Bowl. That progression, that process, give us your take on how they did this.
Howie Roseman is very good at his job, and not just because we went to the same high school.
Oh, nice. Well, go, Jared. That's great.
That's basically what it comes down to. You know, he's one of the GMs that is, you know, not from a scouting background, is from, you know, more of a salary cap management background, and the way that they've handled that over the years has been really good, and it's allowed them to sort of replenish the roster in a very short period of time. And I mean he's probably going to win executive of the year this year, and it's going to be extremely deserving. You look at the way they won that game yesterday. Hassan Reddick, one of the best signings of the offseason. He completely dominated the game from start to finish. Obviously, A.J. Brown took the offense to another level this year, and they had, you know, James Bradbury, bringing him in, was one of the best corners in the league throughout the season. In the middle of the year, after they lose Jordan Davis, they go out and get Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh. I mean, it's just an incredible job of roster building that they did.
Is the Brock? What do you make of the Brock Purdy story? What's going to happen this offseason for the 49ers? How are they going to evaluate him and Trey Lance?
Man, if I had any idea what the Niners were going to do with their quarterback situation, like, all last offseason we were like, yeah, it's only a matter of time until Jimmy Garoppolo gets traded, but then he has the shoulder surgery and he can't get traded, and it's like, well, Trey Lance is team for the future, but he gets injured one, like, in the first quarter of the second game of the season, and then it's like, oh, well, Jimmy's back, but they're going to go to Trey Lance next year, and then Jimmy gets hurt, and then Brock, like, who knows what the 49ers are going to do?
Right, no doubt.
And at this point, so many of their quarterbacks get injured. Like, why wouldn't they just keep as many of these guys as possible?
What do you make? There's people, every time there's a circumstance, people want to know if things should be changed or not. This idea, can you keep three quarterbacks in a game? Can you have three quarterbacks ready instead of that third guy being a position player that just happens to be your emergency quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, why not? Like,
why not,
quarterbacks,
right,
are so important, and, like, I still don't understand, you know, there's 53 players on an active roster, but you can only have 48 active on game day. Why are we doing that? That doesn't make any sense.
I agree.
Just let teams keep as many players active as you can.
I agree with you completely. I was really, it kind of takes the wind out of the sail a little bit when you realize, okay, well, I don't mind backups, but now we're going to force a guy that just got hurt back into a game because, what, Christian McCaffrey, it wasn't going to be able to play quarterback for them? Like, have a third guy that can play quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, even, you know, like, look at other sports. The NHL, literally, they keep a goalie on site in case both goalies get injured for a team, and it's just a random guy that can play goalie, and they throw him into the net. Obviously, it's much different with quarterback than it is with a goalie, but, I mean, it just shows, like, other sports do prepare for the eventuality of, like, having to have someone in an extremely important position that you just need somebody else to put in the game. There's no reason why you shouldn't be able to have, you know, a third quarterback and not have it be, you know, some sort of disaster where you can't have a special teams player or can't have another offensive lineman or whatever it is.
All right, let's get to the AFC and Patrick Mahomes. And there's going to be legend books about everything he's done, but where do you put yesterday's performance given the high ankle sprain? We didn't really know severity of it, but he wasn't on the injured list. But nevertheless, he still was dealing with it. What kind of performance, and how do we put this into some sort of category?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was really possible for me to think more highly of Mahomes than I already did. Like, I was saying, even before last season, I was like, this guy's probably the best quarterback I've ever seen, just based on the way he's produced at that position. I mean, if you look at basically any measurement of quarterback play, he has just been so much better than everybody else in the history of the league. And obviously, he's got a long way to go before he has the best career, or if people want to call him the greatest quarterback of all time or whatever it is. Just the talent level is so absurd. And to be able to do what he did the last couple weeks now, basically playing on one leg and yesterday losing, I mean, they lost essentially their top, like, three of their top four wide receivers in that game, and they still found a way to win. I mean, the guy is just absolutely ridiculous, and I'm not sure we'll ever see anyone else like him.
It's going to be tough, and the AFC is so loaded with quarterbacks. If you are a team that doesn't have one, I can see a 10-year period where you better start figuring out a way to penetrate the wall of the teams that are that good at that position.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, for the 2000s and 2010s, it was like, well, you got to find a way to beat Tom Brady. And now it's, you got to find a way not just to beat Mahomes, but also to beat Joe Burrow and Josh Allen. And, you know, Justin Herbert might be able to take a step forward, and Lamar Jackson is still there. Like, it's really tough, man. Right. And I mean, it's so much tougher than it is in the NFC too. Like, who are the, these guys are going to dominate the league for the next 10 years quarterbacks in the NFC?
A tricky question here, but is there an answer to, I look, the NFL, I'm not a conspiracy guy, but when everybody on Twitter, even prominent people, are saying there's something wrong with officiating that makes me think it's not just incompetence, does the NFL have an answer to this? Do the NFL have to reevaluate the way games are officiated, use some new technology if you can? Because it can't be a good look when prominent people are wondering if something's not right.
Yeah, I mean, like, you should try everything you absolutely can to make the refereeing as good as possible. I do think that what we see on Sundays, and not just yesterday, but throughout the regular season, is much more easily explainable by incompetence or the fact that the job is really hard to do than it is by the games are rigged or fixed or whatever
right.
It is. Like, attributing malice when incompetence is right there, I think, goes a little bit too far.
Well
but
said.
Also just, there's you know, over 100 plays in every game, 22 players on the field on every play. In a discrete event sport, you're going to have calls that get missed, probably multiple calls that get missed or are made when they shouldn't be made on every single play. And, you know, given the technology we have available now, we're going to see a lot of them, and it's going to look really bad.
Early thoughts on Super Bowl 57. It's 2 weeks to heal up. It's 2 weeks to game plan, so we know things will go back and forth. Your overall perception of this game right away?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to know which of the Chiefs wide receivers are going to be able to play in the
no
game.
No doubt.
That's like the number one thing we need to know at this point. But I'm really excited either way to watch the Chiefs offensive line against the Eagles defensive line. You know, the Chiefs offensive line has been one of the best in the league over these last couple of years after they decided, you know, to invest so many more resources in it. And obviously we've seen the way Philadelphia's defensive line can sort of wreck a game over throughout the entire season. They led the league in sacks, and obviously yesterday they basically took the game over. So that's the thing I'm going to be watching for the most part on that side. And then the Eagles offense this year, their sort of superpower has been basically that they can shapeshift to beat you whichever way you need to be beaten. And I'm curious to see what they think the way to beat the Chiefs defense is. Is it going to be one of their more run heavy game plans? Or is it going to be one of those games where they try to throw the ball down the field? I just want to know what their plan of attack is going to be.
Jared Dubin, CBS Sports. Again, 2 weeks till the Super Bowl. Great stuff. Really appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Enjoy this, you know, little week respite before we start really gearing up next week.
I got you, my man. I got you. Again, Jared Dubin, CBS Sports on Progressive Guest Line. It's brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive can save nearly $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if we can save you hundreds on your car insurance. I think he made a great point. And I think people who hang on to conspiracy theories love conspiracy theories. They love to think something is larger than it really is. It you know, you go back, conspiracy theory in that term really came about because of President Kennedy's assassination. That terminology really took off with that. And then it's been thrown to everything from the moon landing to every single thing that's gone that doesn't add up. And it all stems from the fact that there's this scale, right? There's sort of this theoretical scale. And on one hand, you have this very important moment. And then there's an explanation for the moment that doesn't weigh the scale. Like in the Kennedy assassination, you have this unbelievably great president, young, charismatic, popular, important figure in history, and you've got this sort of lone gunman kind of loser that went to Russia, kicked out of Russia, kind of come back working a job and that, and he kills. It doesn't balance the scale. In sports, obviously not to that extreme, but we do it in sports, right? We take these officials, and it doesn't matter. It can be an NBA, it can be NFL, it can be anything. And we say the gravity of the moment is this. That was a championship game that gave the Chiefs a chance to win the Super Bowl, or it put the Chiefs in a better position to win the Super Bowl. And on the other hand, you just got a bunch of guys that made some wrong calls or calls at the wrong time. And it doesn't balance. So instead of saying, gee, you know, maybe we should get better officials or better training or use technology, it's no, it's none of that. You don't understand. You see, this is exactly how Roger Goodell devised it. He wrote it out. He gave it out in a secret memo, and he passed it around to all the people that were involved, and everybody was on the same page that this has to happen. People who believe that, even when you say, do you really understand the levels that it would take to get to that moment? They don't care, right? Because they just blow it off with the NFL is so powerful, it can do whatever it wants. I'm with Jared. I think most of us are with Jared. They're making mistakes, and the mistakes are big and they're important. And they're, look, if you, official that threw the flag, right? We talked about whether or not a flag should be thrown on that pass, personal foul penalty at the end. Imagine being the official that didn't throw. How do you explain that to people when it was clear Patrick Mahomes was hit when he was going out of bounds? If he says, because I didn't want that call to decide the game, you'd have a half of the fan base as angry as the half of the fan base that's angry at him now. It's a tough position.